It's time to rethink, renew, and reimagine retirement. Welcome to Retire Repurposed. This podcast is dedicated to help people transition into fulfilling and purposeful retirements. Retirement is a big life change. In fact, the two most dangerous years of a person's life are the year they were born and the year they retire. We believe that retirement is not the end, rather the beginning of what could be the most impactful season of a person's life. So don't retire, become repurposed. Well, I'm your host, Jared Sebesta. I'm the co-founder of Retire Repurposed alongside Ben Tejas. Thank you so much for joining us today. Maybe you're listening to us on the radio waves. Maybe you're listening to us online. Regardless, if you would head over to iTunes, find our podcast, hit subscribe, and leave us a positive rating and review. If you just take a second and do that, we would appreciate that so much. Well, this podcast, it is about retirement, but it's not about money. It's about the non-financial parts of retirement, which many times can be even more challenging than the financial. Few people can just flip the switch from working a career, having an identity for 30, 40, 50 years, and just shutting it off on a Saturday without methodical steps to living a repurposed retirement. If you're looking for more for your life and your retirement, then you have come to the right place. Well, on this episode, we continue our series on retirement stories with Jeff Gould. Jeff was a funeral director for over 12 years, officiating nearly 600 funerals. Today, Jeff is an author, a speaker, a broadcaster. He's an expert storyteller, and he uses the lessons he learned from the lives of those he helped memorialize to now help others. In this podcast, Jeff talks about the key struggles for people in each quarter of life, and he specifically speaks to baby boomers, encouraging them to rethink retirement and step into a life of greater significance and honor. Enjoy this episode. Well, Jeff, you have a website called ilikethatstory.net. I like the title, first of all. How did you come up with that, and why did you create this platform?
I love stories. I always have. I got that from my dad, I think. And then as I went through life, I realized that stories weren't just entertaining. They were very, probably the best form of education. They're remembered better. They sink in deeper. And I've used those since, not just to entertain, but also to teach. So that's where I came up with the name.
You tell phenomenal stories, but has this always been a thing that you've kind of
excelled at? Interesting. If you were to talk to a kid and say, what do you like? What are you good at? What do you like to do? You know, they would never say stories, right? They'd say, I don't know, I'm good with people or whatever, right? And it probably took till I was maybe 57. Then I realized what I did better than anything else was tell a story. Now, I wouldn't call that a major skill. And I wouldn't say that, you know, I'm the best ever. But what I am saying is that of all the things that I do, I'm best at telling a story.
I think what you said, what you just said there, the memories and the stories is what makes our lives so powerful and sharing those. Why, you know, what have you seen as you've shared your story over these years and on this platform? What's been the reaction with people?
It's really interesting. I get most of my stories from doing funerals. I've probably done pushing 600 funerals. You know, about 70% of people who live in the town I live in don't go to church. And so when somebody dies, somebody has to officiate. And because I used to be a disc jockey, people say, well, why don't you do this? Well, they're not really related, but I do like people. And again, I like telling stories. But what you see, and it's very interesting, when you're talking to somebody the day after somebody dies, and you're in a room with two or three or five people, here's what you see that you don't ever hardly see anywhere else. You see the truth. And you say, well, tell me about this person. And, you know, maybe they tell you the truth and maybe they try to hide the truth, but you still see it. And the truth usually comes in the form of a story. And then I'd come home and I'd tell my wife, hey, let me tell you this story, or I'd tell my kids. And then the answer, the response is always the same, which is my favorite word. It's not even a word.
How do you spell that?
I think it's HM. But what I like about that word is that you tell that they're thinking, right? That a seed's been dropped, the seed of wisdom, a seed of thought. And you feel like that story, it did its job. It didn't just entertain them. It made them go, huh, wow.
Going back to you directing funerals, you said you were a disc jockey. Let's talk about that in your story just for a moment. How did that come? How did that come about? And how do you bridge the gap into those two jobs?
Well, so I was a disc jockey, and I wasn't making any money as a disc jockey. And I was walking on the way to work one day, And I just been told by a guy who was applying for a radio job. And he said, "Oh, wait a minute. Are you Jeff Gould?" "Yeah, yes, I am. Would you have some time to talk?" I said, "Yes, I do." He said, "Good, you suck. You're no good. You're terrible." And I thought, like, how? What? And I hung up the phone, and I was so mad, and I was actually bitter. And then I realized, Jeff, nobody is going to hire a bitter person. They'll figure it out in the end, right? And so on the way to work, I said, "God, you are now in charge of my career. I don't care whatever it is. I am done because I am not good at my own decision making when it comes to jobs." Hmm. And the very next day, a guy who was a sales guy had become sales manager and said, "Hey, Jeff, have you ever thought about being in sales?" I hate sales. So, but a deal's a deal, right?
Right.
So I said, "Let me find out more about it." And then I did go into radio sales. And then one of my clients was a funeral home. And they said, "Jeff, have you ever thought about being a manager at a funeral home?" No. But I did that for 15 years. And then I realized that, you know, it's, you know, it was a good prayer.
Yeah.
I'm just suggesting, if you're out there and wondering what's going on in your life, that's a good prayer to have. And if you pay attention, you will be happy with where it goes.
Yeah. No, that's some great advice. So you were working in a radio studio. I used to be a media, so I kind of know what that feels like. And then you went to working in a funeral home. What was that adjustment like for you?
Well, it's very interesting, because when you are in radio, or I guess the media, what do you do? Well, I'm a radio guy. And then people lean in. Their eyes open, their eyebrows go up, they get a curious, pleasant look on their face. And then I remember I was shaking somebody's hand. This is after I switched. He said, "What do you do?" I said, "I'm a manager at a funeral home." And he pulled his hand out of mine, took two steps back, and then wiped his hand on his pants. So it's different. It's different. I mean, but because people are afraid of death.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then when you talked about him, I said, you know, don't be afraid of death. Be afraid of not living. Mm. This is something you can't help dying, but you can help not living.
Yeah.
And that's kind of, and you know, that's a sad day when you are at somebody's funeral and they're saying, well, tell me about this. Well, you know, he used to hunt, used to fish. And then what did he do? Well, he worked at this job. He didn't really like it. And then you realize that his life was not interesting. It wasn't. And you know, I feel like when we're all like 7 or 8 or 9, what do you want to be? I want to be a scientist. I want to be an astronaut. I want to be a teacher. I want to be a doctor. All these kind of dreams, right?
Yeah.
And then I just imagine that 80-year-old person talking to their 7-year-old self. And the 7-year-old just going, "What now?
Yeah.
What did you do?" And there is no help for that little 7-year-old inside of you. Because when you're gone, he or she is gone.
Yeah.
All I can tell you, find that little guy, little person, and start talking to them, because you were made for a specific purpose, a specific time and place. And it's a little bit like a tuning fork. When you hit a tuning fork and it goes, makes that sound, that whole device is vibrating with purpose. When you are doing what you were created to do, you have that feeling. And sometime in your life, you will find what that is. And then you must have courage to do it, or you will disappoint yourself. You will disappoint the one who created you. And you will disappoint the dreams that you had when you were 7.
That's some great advice. And I can imagine, as you were leading these funerals, you've asked questions, you were gathering stories from the families. Was it easy to separate the families who lost a loved one, who were walking in that, where they resonate with their purpose, and the ones that weren't? Was it easy to kind of differentiate between the two?
That's a surprising takeaway, because many times at a funeral home, there'll be two funerals going on at once. And Jared, you can sort them as they walk up the sidewalk. Mm. You can say, "You're going to this funeral, and this funeral's that way." This person had a life that was vibrant and full, and you can see it and the expression of the people as they walk up. And this person's life was misspent.
Yeah.
And you can see it in their attitude too.
Wow. Where does that happen? You know, you just mentioned there's that 7 or 8 year old little boy or little girl in each of us that looks at life and is so optimistic about all these huge dreams. And then there's a turning point. Just in your life experience, what is it that makes that piece of us fade away, where we lose hope, or we lose grip with that?
In fact, this is what I finally figured out how I would present my stories, because you remember the Olympic skier Lindsey Vonn?
Yeah.
She was going to win the gold medal. She was an excellent skier. She was the favorite, and she had to go first. And you go, well, and no practice, which I didn't know you could do, but apparently in the Olympics, once in a while, you can't practice. And so she drew her name out of the hat first. And what did everybody do? They lined the course and watched her every move and learned from her mistakes. Well, I watch a lot of game film. I watch a lot of people go down the course. I see the same mistakes over and over again. And I'll tell you right now, in the first quarter of life, the first hurdle you're going to struggle with is purpose, right? What am I supposed to do? Where am I supposed to go in this world? And this is for a person just getting out of school. I see it. I went through it. Many of us do. And you must decide if you're going to just live for 5 o'clock. It's 5 o'clock somewhere. Are you going to work for the weekend? Everybody's working for the weekend or Friday night. Or whether you think you were made to something better than the job you have right now, right? That's your purpose. And some people never give up, and many, many people give up right away, and then their life is kind of one of disillusion. The second hurdle happens, you know, 25 to 50, or when you, and that's about relation. And most people in life struggle with relationships. That's very hard to work with other flawed people.
Yeah.
And most people just give up. That's just the way people are. People are no dang good, whatever that looks like.
Right.
And then others say, no, I can solve this, and I can figure out how to be a better spouse, a better parent, a better employee, a better employer. How many friends do I have? Am I engaged? And if I got my group of people that are true to me and I am true to them, that's amazing. And many of us give up on that. Third quarter, this is where I'm at, right? So I'll be 60 next week. These are people between, you know, 50 and 75, and they are struggling with significance, right? It's the people, we call it like a midlife crisis, maybe, where they say, like, I climbed the ladder, but it's against the wrong building.
Right.
Or, you know, I'm burned out, but I'm going to grind it till I get to the 401k, the house paid off, the kids out of the house, whatever that looks like. And I'm just going to tough it out, because I've decided that I guess what it's all about is having a large amount of money, a 401k, and an RV that I can drive around. And they themselves don't feel that that feels right. And it bothers them. What they really want is significance. And they are at the age now where if they didn't know what their purpose was when their first quarter of life, they do know it now. They have had that feeling of that tuning fork like I'm talking about. They know what that's like. But now they must have the courage to jump to that significance. And many, many don't.
Hmm.
Right. So when I left my job to find one of significance, I took a 95% pay cut with no health insurance and no benefits whatsoever. And people say, are you crazy? And I say, well, maybe, but I feel great. I feel I'm exactly where I'm supposed to be. I look at, you know, scriptures that talk about, you know, a double portion heaped over. I've decided that, you know, the one who created me wants me to have the best possible life, and he's super generous. So why not just live in that world? And here's what I hear, Jared, over and over again. People say, so you're retired. I said, no, I'm not retired. And they hear what I have to say, and they say, oh, I'll be retired someday. They don't want to hear that a guy did that, because it makes them uncomfortable.
Right.
And then the fourth quarter, when people are retired, they want a life of honor. And this because if they buy into, you know, the worldview, it's about how much money and possessions you have.
Right.
Well, as those start to get spent as you get older, then you can feel your actual value diminish. And here's what it is, and you talked about this before we went on the air. It's not what you earn, it's what you learned. It's the wisdom, and that's the purpose. A farmer farms for the harvest, and your harvest is getting the wisdom that you've learned into the hands of the younger generation.
Right.
Right. That is, and when you do that, and you tell to a younger person who you know, like a relative, a grandson, child, I love you. I'm proud of you. I made some mistakes, and here what they are. Please forgive me. I love you. And that resonates. It helps them. It gives power and courage to a younger generation. Mm-hmm. It's not. They always say that it's hell growing old. Well, that's half true. It is hard growing old. But the harvest, ask any farmer, the harvest is one of the hardest times in the year.
Right.
But it's the whole purpose.
Right.
It's also the most satisfying time of life. And I have people, I just breaks my heart, who are in that fourth quarter of life, who become involved in their own pain. They look at themselves and feel, you know, nobody cares about me. It's about them. And they don't realize it's not about you. It's about the next generation. If we can connect you to them, you will get what you secretly desire, honor, when somebody looks at you as a valued person. That's what you want.
Yeah. You said that the second quarter is all about relationships. I could see how when you would be between maybe the ages of, you know, 25 and 50, you have a failed marriage, you're hurt, and then the enemy will use that against you from walking into that next fullness. And I think that's why people maybe buy the lie. I want to get your opinion on this, but they don't do what you did. They follow the lie or the trap that once I retire and build enough wealth, then I can try to walk into this fullness. And we talk about that on the podcast a lot. If you go into retirement with that mindset, it will be a massive, massive letdown. Any commentary to that?
Yeah. So it is, when you think about it, well, let's just look at a common holiday. Let's look at Thanksgiving.
Right.
Okay. What do we call it? We call it Turkey Day. And it's about eating food. No.
Right.
It's about time with family. It's about people. It's about relationships. And this particular holiday, it's about relationships with other people and relationships of thanks with the one who created you, right? Mm-hmm. That's where the power is. It's always, always in relation. And when I talk to somebody, and this is very common, well, all of his friends died. Well, all of her friends are gone now. Here's my question. Whose fault is that? Is there some sort of a rule that you must make your friends who are like 18 when you're 18, and these are your friends and you keep them for the rest of your life?
Right.
Is there some sort of rule that all your friends have to be exactly your age? I challenged myself. When I turned 40 years old, I hung up the phone and I said to my wife, I guess I'm not going to do it. And she said, what? And I said, well, I'm 40. I thought I'd call somebody and go do something because it's my 40th birthday. Why not?
Right.
And she said, and? I said, I can't think of anybody to call. Now, I could call some people, but they'd hang up the phone and say, that was weird. What?
Right.
I don't know. Jeff Gould called me and wants to do something for it. What? Weird.
Right.
So I decided that, and I realized that was my fault. You need to find friends and find the experts at finding friends, little kids, step out of your comfort zone, make some friends.
Yeah.
And I've worked on that ever since then. I have friends in their 80s, 70s, 60s, 50s, 40s, 30s, 20s, and teens. And they are my friends. I have lunch with them. I have coffee with them. I consider them my friends. I find people that I think are interesting, diverse, and in other words, have a different life focus than maybe I do because I find them interesting.
Right.
And when I have that group of people, I know that they are. Let me just do a quick aside. They talk about the guys who carried the stretcher to get healed by Jesus, right? You know, the four guys who lower him through the roof.
Right.
We always think about the miracle of Jesus healing, at least I always have. I want to think about those four friends
right. Who
broke the law to get their friend there. And then I think of the guy in the stretcher. Have I been a friend enough that I get four friends like that? Mm. And that's been a challenge to me ever since.
Yeah.
Who are my four people to carry my stretcher?
Yeah. Wow, that's a great way to look at it. And you did that back in this phase of life where relationships, as you mentioned, are so important. Besides relationships, maybe not being intentional about friends and community, We only have a few minutes left already, but speak directly to the baby boomer generation, kind of your generation. What's a major pitfall or thing that they are not doing or should be doing starting right now to walk into this next phase for their life or even perhaps their retirement?
I think the baby boomers are uniquely set because it's a big bulge in the snake and they're kind of used to having their way anyway because they always have. It's time for them to change the narrative, right? I'm tired of ageism. I'm tired of people thinking, go take your retirement money and go. I think it's time to realize that, you know, back and when Social Security started, that 65 years old meant you really could play Parcheesi for three more years because that was your life expectancy. I want baby boomers to own the next 20 or 30 years and to say this isn't some sort of winding down denouement. This is the bell lap. This is the kick it down. Let's go. Let's get some things done. And that's what they need to own because they were born to this time and place to do that. And if they don't own the challenge and change the narrative that age is something that's terrible and instead change it to age is the most revered part because you are blessed to get there and the wisdom that you've earned and learned, then that will be a lost opportunity.
By the way, happy birthday a little bit early as you turn 60 next week. You know, you're just getting, by your own admission, you're just getting started. What do you see for the next 20 or 30 years of your life?
So I've launched this. This is the thing. So my other job, I thought I could grind through till I was 65. This job I'm doing till I'm 80 because I love it. I love everything about it.
Yeah.
In September, I'm taking my wife on a 30-day trip, 5,000 miles to the West Coast on the Pacific Coast Highway back on Route 66.
Oh, wow.
In the 30-year-old Mazda Miata convertible my own dad bought when he retired but never drove. So it's got 35,000 miles on it.
Wow.
And I'm going to live the experience and the memories that he thought he would do someday, but never did.
Yeah.
And I think that's a takeaway. At any given time, you should have three dates circled on your calendar. Anybody at any age that they are looking forward to with passion and excitement.
Absolutely.
And that's a great way to your life. Wow. They don't have to cost money, but you have to look forward to them.
Yeah. Amen. And that is some great advice to everybody listening to this podcast. And it's so easy for life to get a hold of you and you don't do those and you don't even have one. And pretty soon you wake up and you don't have any friends and you wonder what happened. So that is a phenomenal word. As we wrap up here, Jeff, where's a place that people can find you?
So I do have my own podcast. You can find it on Apple Podcast, wherever you get your podcast. I like that story. I like that story. You can also find me on Facebook at I Like That Story because I'm going to post every day on my trip in September. And you mentioned the website. It's not com. It's ilikethatstory.net. Don't fret. Say ilikethatstory.net. And I bet you'll get a good website link there.
Correction. ilikethatstory.net. Jeff,
you said it correct.
I did.
You
correctly. I was going to say, I was going to go back and re-listen to the tape. I think I did it right. But
people listen to it wrong. So I always sneak that in there. Okay.
Jeff, great stuff. I appreciate the time today. God bless you on your trip. Happy birthday. And have a great trip in September.
All right. God bless. Bye now.
Well, I sure hope you enjoyed this conversation with author and speaker Jeff Gould. I really enjoyed how Jeff laid out the key struggles for people in each quarter of life. Remember the second quarter, 25 to 50. Jeff explained how this is about relationships, marriage, and kids. But then we transition into a life of more significance in the third quarter, starting at around age 50. And like Jeff said, by this time, people have known and now have tasted the good things that resonate with their inner child. However, there's a massive turning point that happens. Will you have the courage to step into that realm? And as we talked about, this can be a very scary thing because what God may be calling you into may look very different from what retirement says and what society will tell you about this part of your life. The truth is, the only way to live and to walk is in the purpose that God has intended for us. Jeff, we appreciate you sharing your story. Again, his website is ilikethatstory.net. Do you have a great story? Shoot me an email at jared@retirerepurposed.com. That's jared@retirerepurposed.com. We'd love to hear about it and maybe have the opportunity to share your retirement story on the air. Until next time, I'm Jared Sebesta. Remember, don't retire, become repurposed. We'll see you then.
Hi, this is Suzanne Newman, host of the Answers for Elders podcast and radio show. We are the North Star that guides you through the complicated journey of senior care with trusted experts in money, law, living solutions, and more. So join us on this station, your favorite podcast channel, or just go to answersforelders.com. Meet the way showers who will help your journey go a lot easier.